Thank you for listening. This has been a members-only broadcast brought to you by Barnabas Foundation. Learn more about the variety of resources, tools, and training available to you by logging into the Member Center at www.barnabasfoundation.com.
This classic podcast comes to you from our June 2019 Member Live. In it, Heather Day, our Director of Marketing, and Phil Leo, our Church Communications Director, shared how donor testimonials are a powerful way to convey the benefits and impact of planned gifts.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. My name is Kurt Noll, Director of Member Relations here at Barnabas Foundation, and today's topic is sharing donor stories. Joining me today is Phil Leo, our Director of Communications, Church Communications here at Barnabas Foundation, and Heather Day, our Director of Marketing. Thanks for joining me today, guys. Included in the announcement for today's event, we encourage you to watch a video from Russell James on social norming. It was available through our Member Center. We hope you had a chance to do that. But for those of you who haven't had a chance to watch it, Heather, can you just touch on what that video was all about?
Yeah, so back in late January, I believe it was, we went down to Lubbock, Texas and spent some time with Russell James. And we got quite a bit of footage. And this particular video is him talking about social norming. And that's this whole idea of making sure that when you talk to your donors, you're telling them, people like me do things like this. He talks about how powerful that really is. I've shared how we don't really get past our middle school desire to want to be cool and want to be like other people. So that's all inside us. And you were down there this past few weeks.
I was there. I spent a week down at Texas Tech taking Russell's class. It's kind of a master's level course class on plan giving theory and concepts and words that work and all of his research over the years. Mm-hmm. But he kind of just shared with the class for a week, and a big chunk of what he talks about is this whole idea of telling stories with donors and using them as a way to motivate and encourage others to give in similar ways. And so social norming was a big part of that conversation. So we believe in stories.
Right.
We've talked about this for a long time with our members. We really encourage folks to use donor testimonials and stories as a means of encouragement. But somebody's got to write these things.
that's a big challenge.
Who should write?
Well, it's interesting because some of the, both here and then in my prior role at Olivet Nazarene University, some of the best writers of these stories were actually people that didn't even have writing on their resume, per se. They just had that natural ability from other things that they had done. So when you're looking for somebody to write these stories, and it might be you, but these people are people who are just gifted with storytelling. They're good with connecting with people's hearts. People feel comfortable with them so that they open up to them and share these stories. And pretty early on, Phil, I believe you were hired about a year and a half ago. So pretty early on, I just said, hey, Phil, why don't you take a crack at one of these? And he had a natural ability to do it. I think that came from his years of as a pastor. Just hearing people's heart, hearing what they were really talking about, making them feel comfortable. And of course, in that role, there was quite a bit of writing that he did,
sure,
too.
Yep.
So to be looking for someone, it doesn't have to be, they don't have to have spent a career in writing to be really good at this. Watch for those people who are natural communicators and storytellers and can connect with people.
So we believe stories are really strong. Somebody's got to write these things.
Right.
We found a great writer in Phil, who's come on board.
Right.
You've written some stories,
yep,
over the years as well. So you both have had experience with this, but mm-hmm, not all our members have people like you.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do if you don't have that person?
Do you want to talk about that, Phil?
Yeah, I'll talk about that. So we'll talk a little bit more about what our process is for developing these stories. But one of the things that we've realized along the way, because we use transcripts, we record our conversations with donors. And one of the things we've begun to do is just basically mine the transcripts for really succinct quotes that really sort of accomplish what we're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And we're realizing that there's a lot of material just within a transcript of a conversation that can be put in promotional materials. You don't even necessarily have to write a full-blown story, mm-hmm, but you do get a lot of really valuable quotes from folks. So it isn't necessarily even having that person on staff.
Yeah, I would agree, because I was actually just looking at one of our members' website, and they did this beautifully. Like, they just had a photo of the person talking about that planned gift and why they give, and they were just these little bitty quotes, but they were extremely powerful on those web pages. And we are going to talk about stories today, just that's the topic. But another thing I would point out is that if you don't have that person or you don't have the capacity to write, consider freelance. I've worked with several times in the past a great writer that I trust, that's on the outside. You can look for, incorporate your language, but a storyteller is a storyteller. So if you can work with somebody that that you can outsource these articles to, you might have great luck there.
Okay, fantastic. Just a reminder for anybody watching, if you have a question, feel free to put it in the comments. I'll see the comments right here as we go along. But Phil, you know, getting someone to be willing to do a story,
right?
I mean, that's a first hurdle, right? And so getting those set up, those interviews set up, it feels like a monumental task sometimes.
Right.
But you have any tips for getting those set up as well as to get the most out of them?
Yeah, we'll talk about sort of obstacles or glitches that can happen along the way. But typically the way it goes for us here is that somebody from our organization is working with someone, a donor. They realize that it's a good story. They see that it's a good story. They'll put me in touch with the donor. I reach out to the donor, explain the concept of what we're trying to accomplish with the story. You have to recognize that often people don't want to share their story. That's very common. But I found that when you explain what it is we use the stories for, how they promote generosity, how they inspire other people to give, I find that people are very willing to jump on board and work with me. So generally, once we have an okay to move forward, I'm really careful to explain the entire process A to Z with them and let them know what they're getting into with me, because it is sort of a process.
Sure.
And sometimes I'll even say, you know, you may hit a point in our process in which you regret having agreed to do this. But I really try to prepare them for all the aspects of the process from beginning to end, just so they know what they're getting themselves into.
Excellent.
Yeah, and one of the things that, again, just making it clear, and Phil really has a great way about that, making people feel at ease even as they're going into this, but just making sure they're aware of the needs, even for beyond the writing, like the photos. Mm-hmm. Like we were just kind of talking about that the past few days and how to navigate that, making sure that they know right up front that we're going to be looking for that along the way.
Yeah, another thing we do too is recording. We record the conversations. We'll have a phone call. You could do a Skype call or something like that. We record them. We get a transcript of those conversations, and we use that to write our stories.
Okay.
I just was recording an interview a few weeks ago, and I always make it clear up front that that nobody else is going to hear it. That is just for my benefit. That is just so we can have a more natural conversation. So again, somebody said to me the other day, but you're going to delete it, right? I said, absolutely. It's just for my notes so that we can talk. So that really puts them more at ease.
Excellent. So the questions you end up asking these folks, do you send them a list of questions in advance?
Right. Heather and I disagree on this, and we're going to debate it right now.
You guys can determine.
You decide who's right. No, my practice has been I will send them a list of questions in advance so that they know, so that they can be thinking about their responses. There are drawbacks to that. Practice.
Yeah. So the reason why I tend to stay away from it, it really is a personal preference, and there's drawbacks, pros and cons of both ways. But the reason why I tend to stay away from it is I stick to telling them general topics we're going to cover and what the ultimate outcome. But the reason why I stay away from giving them my specific questions is for two reasons. One, I tend to get canned answers back because they've overthought about it. And really, I found that the most compelling stories sound like the donor rather than a polished statement. And the other reason why I tend to avoid it is that I've had circumstances where they get locked in, or you feel locked into those questions. Wait, you didn't tell me you were going to ask that. Or something comes up in the interview often where you just weren't expecting it. You didn't see it coming. And so you want to explore that conversation. So there are pros and cons, and we give each other a hard time about it. But it just, sometimes it depends on the person I'm talking to. If I feel like it's going to put them at ease, I will send them questions in advance.
So there's no rhyme or reason to exactly how it should do this. Just a little bit of personal preference and understanding what the pros and cons of both ways of doing it
Right. And ultimately feeling out the donor, you know, like if you feel like they are, we've had very regimented people who I feel like, okay, I really need to tread carefully here and they need a clear roadmap. And other people are like, whatever, you know, I don't need to know in advance to show up. Right. So,
yep.
Excellent. Any other tips when you're doing these interviews?
So I already talked about a little bit about preparing people for what the process is. One of the things that I do in preparing potential or donors for these stories is I explain to them that we have a process for signing off on releasing the story. Mm-hmm. We have different options that they can choose for releasing the content of the story, releasing the story. So I explain that in advance so that they know they're going to have to make a decision about sharing the story. I also try to take steps to share how we're going to try to get a photo from them or photos from them, which sometimes can be a challenge in terms of getting the right photos. Sometimes people are just challenged sending photos, those kinds of things. So we sometimes have issues with that.
Okay.
Yeah, you're currently working with somebody who's, it's a couple, how old are they?
I'm working with a couple in their 90s and getting a photo. I'm literally just going to drive to their house and go. Get a picture.
So he's gone from pastor to writer to photographer. He's really building his resume here. So, you know, another tip I would add on to that, I always end every single interview. So I do have, in general, I have my roadmap of questions so that I can kind of know what I want to cover. But I always end every single interview with, is there anything else that you'd like to share? And some of the best nuggets of information come out of that last few minutes. And I prepare, I allow time to stay and just see what happens. Because there may be things I never even thought to ask, and really beautiful, compelling content comes out at that point.
Is that often where they really dive into their life story and they just start talking?
It is. Yeah. Cause maybe they thought that I was going to ask them about it, or they just mentioned something funny, you know, and those could be really great hook, something that you put into your story. So yeah.
I sense this is really a blessing in many times for you guys to talk with these folks.
Absolutely.
And really engage with them and hear what their life has been like and how they've gotten to the place that they have gotten to in their relationship with the Lord and where their charitable heart is at and their values and so forth. And they really, my sense is from the conversations that I've heard you guys talk about is that you really dive into a lot of intimate details in these people's lives.
Yeah.
And they kind of open up a book and out it comes.
For sure.
Yeah, I look forward to it. And actually what happens as you get to hear their story, your own life is impacted. You're impacted. You see these stories of amazing generosity, and you're really inspired just in terms of your own living and your own giving.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I have a story about that. We hadn't even talked about this before, but I interviewed a few weeks ago. It had actually been quite a while since I'd written a story because Phil does such a fantastic job and I've been working on other things. So I took a testimonial the other day and I came back so excited about it and I like reinvigorated in my work. But another interesting thing happened. It didn't even include it in the story, but they were talking about when their kids were young and their kids are all like professionals now, have, you know, established in their careers. But they were talking about when their kids were young, how they taught them to give the first 10% to tithe and 45% to savings and 45% to spend. And, you know, we talked about that quite a bit. And I went home that night and my kids, I'd already talked to them about the concept of tithing, but I went home that night and downloaded an app that helped me keep track of my kids to help them teach the concept of saving and budgeting. And it was just a side effect of that conversation that I got my story, but I was personally challenged and learned something from that conversation as well.
Fantastic.
It was very cool. The other thing, I'm sorry, just to keep, Phil and I were talking about, this is one of our favorite topics to talk on, so we could go on and on. But I came back from that same conversation, and because I was asking questions about their motivations and their excitement and their passions, I came back with information that one of our planners that's worked very closely with them didn't know about them. They didn't know, you know? And so it was really interesting. You're as a writer or a communicator, sometimes you get to be in this really privileged, sacred space of asking about what really matters to them. I'm sitting there with the person talking about what it was like to watch her son go through cancer and then her being diagnosed. And, you know, man, that day was really powerful for me.
Yeah.
I think that was off script, Kurt. So
it was a little bit, but that's okay. That's the way that these things work. Yeah. Being off script as well, before we dive into these last few questions that I have for you guys, Nick has just asked, do we do anything with video testimonies?
Okay, so over to our right, off camera, you'll never see her, is Kim, who we hired her for one role, but she came in with a master's from Loyola in storytelling. So we're exploring the possibility. We're actually working right now on getting a video testimonial. So yes, we are thinking that direction. We want to do more with that. We've done a few video testimonials along the way over the years, but I think it's going to be really powerful. And I should just say, with those videos and with these stories, the giving method comes out in those stories and in those videos. But really, the whole idea is to come back to the social norming of people like me do things like this. So showing their life and telling who they are and what their kids are like, it's just that's where the true magic happens.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So you do this interview.
Yeah.
This interview lasts more than 5 minutes, right? There's a transcript and a lot of notes.
Right.
So you get a lot of data. A lot of information,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to digest this down,
right?
To a, because the stories we tell, they're not multiple pages.
No.
We're talking like a page and a half usually. Mm-hmm. How do you translate that down into that donor story?
That's what's really hard. That's one of the more challenging sort of aspects of the task. Some of it is just living the story, letting the story live with you for a little bit. You're not going to race from the phone interview and the transcript to the story. I think you have to let it sort of jumble around in you a little bit. I can get at it this way by saying that I've literally finished a story, given it over to our project manager, hey, Ashley, who would then say, I don't think this is the story. And then I think, well, Heather will back me up. And Heather says, no, I don't think this is the story either. That's only happened once. But it is hard,
right?
Because sometimes you're tempted to tell the story of the way they're giving, but you're really looking to tell the story of how they came to give. You know, what are the factors that came together in their life that have influenced them to give the way they're giving and to have the passions that they have?
Right.
So yeah, Heather's good with this. And
well, I think one of the things that I heard a long time ago, a couple things that helped me. One that I heard a long time ago was what is the thing that you come home from that interview and you tell your friend or you tell your spouse? So you know, they're, because those are interesting nuggets. And sometimes we think, oh, that's irrelevant to the story, so I'm going to drop it. But really, those are what people are going to grab their attention and really makes them human, makes them interesting. Because we're not just the sum of what we've given. We're all the passions and the reasons around it. So if there's something that you come home and it was just funny, or it was moving, you know, something along that lines, or surprising. Those make really good things to work this, around the story. The other thing that I had heard a long time ago at a conference was talk about this this concept called lampshade characters. And this is not my concept, but she was a biologist who writes fiction stories, and she used lampshade characters to teach biology. So what she would do is she would have a character that was really compelling. And she said, to think of it like a lamppost, I have this character that shines a light out and helps me understand the concept better. So if you think you translate that to planned giving, I have somebody who has a really interesting, powerful story, but I'm going to use the light from their story to share the importance of estate planning or the importance of giving an IRA gift. Mm-hmm. The IRA gift is not the story. The estate plan is not the story.
Right.
That's just where the light is shining. Yeah.
Fascinating. Very interesting.
So then the other thing that Phil kind of referenced is just the importance of having an editor and having people around you that help you. And in my role, I do get to edit a lot. But even when I write, it's so important to have somebody else with an outside perspective to look at it and say, you know, this really interests me, or that you've lost me here. So the editing process is crucial. Like we never go with a first draft. So in the editing process, you're looking for word count. So getting it from a 700 word article down to something that'll fit on an 8.5x11 piece of paper. You're also looking for flow. Are there parts where it just feels like, well, that was a jolt? Where did that come from? And then also focus. Are you all over the place? And like Phil said, that's painful because there has to be things that are really interesting or were really compelling that just has to get left on the cutting floor.
Well, I would say that this sounds pretty straightforward, but in some ways it's not either. It's just, you would think that telling a donor story should be fairly straightforward, but there's a lot to this process. There's some complexity to it as well. And I imagine over the last year and a half, you've been doing it with us and Heather, over your career of doing it, you guys have run into some roadblocks and some hurdles. And, you know, what are some of those things and how have you dealt with them? How have you
overcome that and get past them? So probably the most common one is people are hesitant to share their story because they're humble. They're not trying to draw attention to themselves. And so that's, in fact, I just had conversation this morning with some folks about that. And so I completely get that. And when people say they're hesitant to share, that's one of the things that I do is I say, I completely understand. Like it's totally understandable. And then I try to explain what it is we're trying to accomplish with the story, why it makes a difference and how their story could inspire others to give generously. And I have a pretty good success rate with people getting on board after expressing initial hesitation.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because when I came on board with Barnabas, that was one of the first things I heard is, you don't know our people. Our people are very humble, won't want to share. We don't tell that donor testimonies because they don't like to share it. And I can't think of anybody that's just flat out turned us down.
Right.
We've had a couple of people, as you said, like initially were hesitant, but then when we explained like how this is another significant way to give, to use your influence, we've had, I think, 100% success rate.
If they say no to me, then I send Heather after them. and then it's done.
We just charm them. It's just a really special thing to be part of. Another complication that we've run into a few times, and I'll share a story from my past, was when somebody has an agenda. So what I mean by that is so for example, I had an article writing for our alumni publication, and we were writing about somebody who had a very successful business, a Fortune 500 company. He was a CEO for it. It was just, you know, really incredible story. But he's, of course, because of his role and his experience, saw this as a marketing opportunity for his company. So he wanted to weave in language about his company and what they do and how many locations around the world they're located. It just, that wasn't our story. So that's hard. That's very hard. I try to, as much as possible, honor them where I can, because I know that this is a gift of their time that they're doing this. So I try to honor it when I can, but I also am just candid with them of explaining, you know, we have a purpose for this story, and that's to inspire other people to give. So where we can work that language in, we will, but we can't, it can't be a press release for the donor. It can't be whatever agenda that they have in mind. And that reminds me too of another thing that happens, and I haven't had this happen very often, but it does happen. It happened pretty early on when I was here. It wasn't Phil. I'm just writing a different article where the writer quoted somebody directly, and it was kind of a like innocuous quote. It wasn't nothing about it.
Right.
But for some reason, even though the donor had said it, they're like, I didn't say that, and they were upset about it, and they got pretty mad. It happens in spite of your best intentions, in spite of your best efforts. You have somebody that just something doesn't sit right with them, you know. So he was upset. So what I always encourage when that happens is just to apologize, own it. Even if you don't think you did anything wrong, own it. I'm so sorry we offended you. We never would have done that intentionally. What can we do to make it right? And then immediately, and this is what we did in that circumstance, immediately be in communication with the person that works most closely with them. So we talked with their planner and made sure they were aware of the circumstance. But again, just did everything we could to make it right and to apologize and own it, not try to justify it, not try to as tempting as it is to send the transcript back to them and say, you did say this. but just to own it and try to do whatever you can to make it better. Because as important as this story is, it's not more important than the relationship with that donor.
Very true. Very true. That's where that editing process still is alive, right? Until that donor kind of approves that final story or copy, you still have the ability to make that change.
Yeah, and that makes them more comfortable from the very beginning. We tell them that we will not publish anything without you being on board with it. So so in that circumstance, we were able to make it right, and it's one of our stories that we have. So don't try to comb through them and figure out which one it was. But we used that story, and ultimately it became a win. But that does often put people at ease that they will have the final opportunity to make sure we're okay.
Okay. I think we've written more stories in the last 2 years, 2.5, 3 years, than we wrote in the prior decade around here. So you guys have been phenomenal success with getting our donors willing and able to do so. It's been great. So besides some of those struggles, what have been some of the most rewarding moments? And I know we touched on this just a little bit ago, but you know, what are some of those things that you've taken away from this?
Well, I think, you know, Heather just said something that really resonates with me, and that is when someone agrees to share their story with you, it's an incredible gift. And I guess my awareness of that as I've done more and more of these stories is recognizing what a gift it is that they're sharing something that's very personal, and not just personal, but a really treasured part of their life with you, so that you can tell their story to however many people. That's a tremendous gift. And I am learning more and more just to honor that and to honor them in the giving of that gift and to honor that relationship. And be very, very careful with the relationship as you go. And we talked too about just how blessed you are by getting, you know, sometimes I'll finish a story and I will just say to Heather, to folks on our team, and say, this person or these people are literally just the most fabulous people. And I want to be just like, if I could be like them, that would be awesome. But I'm trying to be like Jesus. I get that.
Yeah,
but,
and then secondary. The people and, you know, and it's also been rewarding. I wholeheartedly agree with that. I've had really special conversations where I was able to minister that person. I never saw that coming. So that's been fun. And then another thing that's rewarding, we've seen results. So Phil wrote this article about a church and told the story of this church. And it's been interesting to see how many churches have approached him now because of the story that we didn't think much about at the time. We thought this was just an article about the way that one church structured a legacy foundation. And he's had multiple pastors call him and say, I read this article. So that's really fulfilling as in our role to say, okay, this is actually getting traction.
Right. So. Well, and we've seen over the years the donoring stories, when they tell them to each other, generates referral calls to us.
Yeah.
So being able to write that story and use it in a broader marketing concept, or being able to use it in a broader audience, can be just as powerful as that verbal communication. Where I don't know how many times a week our phone rings saying, so and so told me he did this with you. I'd like to know more.
Right.
You know, and so it's that donor testimonial.
I would just to add on that, going back to what we were talking about earlier, if you don't have the time, we focused today on writing these stories, but I would say to the fundraisers watching, tell stories, you know, like those really help people connect. And that's where you're gonna have your greatest impact. And that's what you're good at. You're good at sharing those stories.
Yeah, I've shared numerous stories of donors and donor engagements that we've had with other people, and it's led them to think about things too. So we know the power of stories are there. We've written a lot of them, and we want to be a resource for you all to do so. And we have some resources available to our members.
We do. So we did, a while back, we did a webinar when we were doing those called Stories That Compelled Generosity. So we dove into some of these topics that we've talked today at a deeper level. So that's available in the Member Center. So you just look for Stories That Compel Generosity. If you search for any of those terms, it'll pop up. We also have some sample interview questions. Again, I would just see these as a general roadmap, add in questions that are unique to that interview, but these will help you get started. And then check out the donor testimonials we have on our website. So read them, see what you like, what you don't, how you can do it better. But just it'll kind of give you an idea of what we're going for. And you'll see while we do talk about the giving methods in them, it's really about this whole people like me do things like this. So, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Any final comments? I'll put you both on the spot.
No, I would just say, well, again, this is one of our favorite topics because it's so much fun and I get reinvigorated. If you're not the storyteller, be sure to share those stories with the people. There are people in your organization that probably get excited about this too. So make sure to feed them these stories. If you're on the road, you know the donors that they should be talking to.
Yeah. And I think just doing these stories is shaping a lot of the work that I'm doing, a lot of thinking I'm doing to do as much as we can around stories, no matter how small, because stories compel and they communicate. So
stories do compel.
Yep. That's
what Jesus did. He told stories.
That's right. Lots of parables and stories, didn't he?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they are all compelling. Well, thank you very much for sharing your time with us. We were joking before we started the Facebook Live that this easily could have been 90 minutes if we didn't kind of stay focused on the questions that we had wanted to bring up. And it is fun to see them engage around the office on this. And so if any of you ever have questions about the storytelling process or interviews and so forth or techniques and just want to bounce something around, we're always willing to chat. And so for you sure. can always call our office and check in with us. Just a few announcements here before we end our time together. Again, if you are not using the Member Center on a regular basis, we encourage you to do so. If you don't have a login, make sure you reach out to Linnell Dykstra in our office. She will make sure you get set up and orientate you to the Member Center. It is the vehicle by which we use to disseminate an awful lot of information. All the materials we generate in marketing, these stories, a lot of the video content and so forth is all available through the Member Center. So we really strongly encourage you to use it. Another note, we are almost at 200 members on our Facebook group for just member organizations. And so if anybody in your team should be part of this or within your organization that maybe not, push them along because whoever becomes the 200th member, we're going to send you a little bit of Barnabas swag.
So, and it's going to be good.
Who doesn't want some of our swag? So encourage your folks to join. Next month, I'll be talking with Jim Bakke on some of the roadblocks that come up in planning with donors. And so look for that announcement coming up in July. Another reminder is in the fall, we've got two events coming up in the fall on September 24th. We will have the donor engagement, the golden years is what we're calling it. A registration is now open. It's available on our website. And we encourage you to attend. It'll be hosted in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We will have a couple of locations where you can also mingle together and watch the event live and then we'll and through the live stream. And so more information will be coming out on that very, very soon. Mm-hmm. We have several speakers lined up for that. We're really starting to get excited about this.
Yeah.
And I know you, Mick
Uclea. So I got to know him through a prior role and, you know, fasten your seatbelts. He's done a lot of writing on generations. So he knows, his research has been used by Franklin Covey and some others, to talk about generational traits. So he's really great. Andrea Prince Karsten, a lot of you know her well. She's a financial advisor and she works with seniors a lot, but in particular, her passion is just this transfer of wealth that's going to happen to women as they outlive their husbands. So we're going to talk about that. And then a couple other
members. Yeah, and we have a couple of experts from dementia experts from Holland Home that are going to join us and walk through what dementia is all about. And before that event, several of us are actually going to go up to Holland Home and go through what they call the dementia journey. And it's a room that they have outfitted with some equipment, goggles and gloves and things, and they're going to ask us to do certain things. Yeah. And through that, apparently, and I have no idea what this is going to be like, but I'm going to be one of the guinea pigs, we get to experience what someone with dementia is experiencing. And so we'll be recording some of that, and we'll be recording some of our thoughts afterwards as part of that to share with the group. The other great thing about the folks from Holland Home is their training during their session tends to be very interactive. And so we'll have some live interaction with the folks that are attending though. So we hope to see you all at the September 24th event in Grand Rapids. October 8th, we will have another boot camp here in Illinois. So registration will be open on that. So watch for those announcements. Last couple of things, third quarter marketing materials are available through the Member Center. So if you haven't placed your order for customizable materials, we encourage you to do so very, very soon and get those ready, prepared for your donor communications here in third quarter. Also that Russell James video that we mentioned at the beginning of this episode on the whole idea of social norming and his research in that is available through the Member Center as well. So be sure to check that out. And lastly, just a reminder that all of our Facebook Live events now, and some of the most recent training stuff that we've done, we've been converting that into podcast format, and that's been released in the podcast, the various different podcast sources. And I don't podcast, so I don't get it. But
yeah, look, if they're on Apple's podcast or Google or whatever you use.
So if you listen to podcasts, look up Barnabas Foundation. You'll find more and more content every month that we're releasing. So we're here to serve. We're here to serve you all. If you all have ideas for things you'd like to see us do during one of these Facebook Lives, be sure to reach out to us and let us know. We have the next, I think, 4 months planned so far, but we're always kind of staying, you know, 4 or 5 months in advance planning each one of these. And so, again, if there's a topic you'd like to see us address, just reach out and let us know. It's always a privilege and honor to serve you in the ministry work that you're all doing to grow the kingdom. And we just consider it to be just a joy to work with these donors and to funnel money into the kingdom and ultimately to save lives for Christ. So thank you for joining us today. And we look forward to seeing you sometime in the near future.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. This has been a members-only broadcast brought to you by Barnabas Foundation. Learn more about the variety of resources, tools, and training available to you by logging into the Member Center at www.barnabasfoundation.com.